want to be doing this until I'm Willie Nelson's age.
Welcome to Country Courts. My name is Tom Myers, and today we're having a conversation with a very special guest, all the way from Northern California, but he'll always stay the son of the San Lorenzo, Jesse Daniel. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
It's your first time in the Netherlands.
First time ever in the Netherlands.
How do you like it so far?
I love it. It's beautiful. The city's clean, people are friendly, and the sun's shining. I love it.
I just came back from Austin, but like the difference on the highways or the interstates, that's crazy. Yeah. Like it's more clean, right?
Yeah, you made it back alive from the Texas highways.
They
drive fast and furious out there.
They're used to that in the United States, right?
Oh yeah.
Like they're moving, like even trucks, they're passing you with 100 miles an hour or 90 miles an hour.
Very fast, man.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of playing the Netherlands?
I have. Years ago, when I put out my first record in 2018, I kind of had the dream of coming to Europe because I had seen a lot of other artists, who were playing traditional country, like guys like Dale Watson and other guys like that, who were kind of a lot of Texas artists, really, that were coming over to Europe and doing that. And so that's kind of what got my interest with Europe in general. But I never thought that... it would be like this, where we'd be so well-received and, doing a whole tour like this. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, because you're playing three stages, right?
Yeah.
Groningen, Utrecht, and the Zwarte Cross. That's going to be an experience for you, I guess.
Yeah.
Have you heard about it?
I have. I did some reading about it. I heard that it's a pretty incredible festival.
It's crazy. So I think you'll be having a great time over there. Well, actually, we with Country Courts have a WhatsApp community, which has around 600 country fans from the Netherlands and Belgium as well.
Wow.
And you are actually one of the guys that they really resonate with, because we have a recommendation subgroup and like all your songs are coming through. Did you expect that?
Wow, that's incredible. No, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, you're very popular.
That's a pleasant surprise. I love it.
Well, let's start you off with some Country Courts brain crackers to get you all warmed up for this interview. Brain crackers are a couple of dilemmas for you.
Okay.
So you have to pick either one.
Okay.
Bakersfield Sound or Texas Country?
Oh, I'm gonna have to go Bakersfield Sound. I love them both, but Bakersfield, because I'm from California.
The roots.
Yeah.
I understand that. Waylon Jennings or Merle Haggard?
Oh.
Yeah, they're heavy hitters.
Yeah, I have a Waylon Jennings tattoo and I have a Merle Haggard tattoo. Those are like my two favorites. But if I had to choose one, probably Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because?
I just resonate with his story a little bit more. He was kind of a troubled youth, and he went to prison and he got in a lot of trouble. And I had kind of a similar backstory, and he kind of overcame all of that and went on to put California on the map for country music. And so he's a hero of mine for that.
Is that a reason that you moved back from Texas to California?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, definitely.
Cool. A Walmart parking lot or a hotel in Groningen?
Oh, the hotel, definitely, yeah.
Because you used to like stay with the band in Walmart parking lots, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we'd sleep in Walmart parking lots or sleep on park benches or wherever we could lay our heads. So the hotel is much nicer.
So you've come a long way, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Suboxone or aspirin?
What is that?
Suboxone or aspirin.
Oh, Suboxone or aspirin.
Suboxone, I'm sorry. I mispronounced that.
Oh, man. Nowadays, aspirin, definitely.
But back in the day.
I was on Suboxone for years, though. That stuff's no joke. No fun.
No, it's like a drug you get addicted to. And
yeah. It's like they give it to people to get them off of like drugs like heroin, but then you just end up being addicted to the Suboxone, So definitely aspirin, I gotta say.
Very good, that's very good. Jody or Son of the San Lorenzo? The songs, how don't let you pick between your wife and your baby.
Yeah, that's a tough one. In general, that Son of the San Lorenzo, I love that song because it's kind of an autobiographical song. But I'm going to go ahead and pick Jody just because that's such a meaningful one. And I finally kind of summed up what she meant to me in a song. And you know, that's what it's all about.
How hard was that to sum it all up? Because she was a very key person, like in mm-hmm. the whole turnaround thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was. It was tough. You know, you have to kind of be vulnerable with yourself, you know, and allow yourself to like show other people that. And it was tough to get that down on paper, but I'm glad I did, for sure.
You're very happy with the result then?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wanted to talk about the other song because it was already on Rolling On, your second album. Why did it came back as the title track for this song? Is it like a full circle moment for that song?
Yeah. No, that's a fair question. I recorded Son of the San Lorenzo, you know, after I wrote it, which is, you know, 2019, I wrote that song, 2018. And, you know, I wrote it about where I'm from, you know, the San Lorenzo Valley. And, you know, going back to do this record, my latest record, Son of the San Lorenzo, I knew that I wanted it to be kind of an autobiographical piece that was about this identity, you know, of a person and kind of like where I'm from and what shaped me as an artist. And that song had kind of become like a little piece of lore, you know, in my story, and a lot of my fans back home started calling me the Son of the San Lorenzo. So that kind of became my nickname. And so it felt very fitting, you know, to kind of resurrect that song and re-record it in kind of a little bit more hillbilly fashion and put it on the record.
Yeah, because it's a little different. Why did you change it?
I wanted it to be a little more, you know, to reflect some of that kind of more mountain music a little bit, you know, more dobro, acoustic guitar, stuff like that. I love both versions, but, you know, I wanted to do it a little bit more, a little more backwoods sounding.
Yeah, because that's a great bridge to where I want to go, because there are a lot of Tex-Mex influences in your music. Mm-hmm. You also had a song with... I have to look the name because I always forget the name. Raul Malo,
yeah.
Malo, I'm sorry. I just saw him at the Willie Nelson picnic at the 4th of July in Austin. He played there. And then there he played Volver. And I was like...
That's a great song.
Yeah, it's very, very good. I was... I forgot the English word. Work on this interview. And I came across El Trabajador.
Yeah. That's
so
it.
That's a song you made with him.
Yep.
How did that like collaboration came?
Well, with Raul, you know, I'd just been a fan of his and a fan of the Mavericks, you know, for a long time.
His band, yeah.
And a friend of mine named Tom Lewis, he's a drummer. He played drums on my Rolling On record. Shout out to Tom if you're listening, Tom. He's an incredible drummer from Austin, Texas. He plays with everybody from, you know, Hay Bale to all the heavy hitters in the kind of Austin realm from the 80s, 90s onward. And he invited me out when I first moved to the Austin area. He invited me out to a lot of shows and introduced me to Raul and invited me back on the tour bus. And that's like where I got to kind of meet the Mavericks. And they were one of my favorite bands. And so... I kind of wrote that song with Raul in mind, you know, because I know that he does such a good job with kind of representing like all that Latin country, you know, and whatnot. And, you know, I grew up in California, but just like Texas, there's a lot of like Mexican influence with like the culture, the music, you know, food, all that stuff.
And I read about your stepdad, who was a Mexican influence
exactly.
as well.
Yep. He was, you know, from Zacatecas, Mexico. And so he, you know, also had that music around. We used to work the flea markets when I was a kid, and there's like a lot of, you know, people doing, you know, karaoke there. There's bands playing. And so that music was just kind of always around. And so I wrote that song, I pitched it to Raul, and he said he'd like to do it. And that's how it came to be.
Yeah, cool. Because you, like the collaborations, they are coming. Like the last years, Benjamin Todd I saw, Charles Wesley Godwin, of course, on the last record. How do you think about those collaborations? Is that like for you, maybe a confirmation of the recognition you get the last years? Because you've been a rising star, especially the last 2-3 years, right?
Oh, I appreciate that, man. You know, I think it's... I think it's just, you know, I try to collaborate with people that I feel like are good people, you know, and they're good artists and they're true artists, you know, honest people. You know, Benjamin Todd, he's one of those people. Charles Wesley's one of those people. Raul's one of those people. Jody is one of those people. Yeah. And so that's kind of like my moral compass. You know, whoever I work with or do a collaboration with, I want it to be somebody that I truly like admire their work and, you know, would want to make something cool with, you know, not just do it for like the exposure or the this or that, you know.
Who's actually next on the collaboration list? Like who would have been your dream collaboration?
Oh man.
You might like do a shout out then.
Yeah. You know, as far as like the people, you know, that I'd love to collaborate, there's so many good, you know, talented artists these days. I was just telling my buddy Franz here about Jake Worthington.
Oh yeah.
He's one that I really love his music, super traditional country from Texas. He's awesome.
He was playing CMA Fest last June.
Yeah, he's great, and he's a buddy of mine. I'd like to do something with him. Another kind of friend and acquaintance is Sierra Farrell. I would love to work with her just because I think there's nobody doing what she has done and is doing. You know, she's got such a unique voice. She's just a crazy good musician, you know. She puts on like a whole theatrical show.
Yeah, with the clothes as well.
Yeah, it's like pretty otherworldly, you know. Yeah,
it's very alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see yourself as an alternative country artist, or how would you describe yourself?
Yeah, I guess so. I think definitely more alternative than a lot of people, you know. Definitely unconventional kind of story, and musically, I think it's a little more on the alternative spectrum.
I bet, yeah, because there's only one Jesse Daniels story, right?
Yeah.
Some of our listeners or watchers maybe not know about your past, but yeah, you've been struggling with addiction, you went to jail. Can you, like, in a nutshell, tell us what happened and how did you came out of there?
Sure, yeah. So I, you know, I grew up playing music, you know, as a young man, adolescent, and playing in lots of different bands, and I played drums. And so basically, you know, through the music, you know, I kind of got into partying and started really young with that, and got more and more kind of heavily involved in the kind of more drug related and like criminal underworld of all that stuff. And then before I knew it, you know, by the time I was 16, 17, 18, you know, I was becoming a full-blown, you know, drug addict. I became, you know, addicted to heroin and crystal meth, and was, you know, just constantly in and out of jail, like you said, and rehab programs, and then so eventually, after, you know, some years living that lifestyle, country music and music in general is kind of what helped pull me out of that.
It was your saving grace, I read.
It was, definitely.
Yeah, but not only country music. Jody.
Yeah, Jody too, for sure. You know, that having the partnership, you know, and somebody to be in your corner, you know, was a necessity for sure. You know, I think that really helped me pull through.
She gave you a choice, right? Like still living the life you lived, or she'll be away, right?
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
How happy are you that you're with her, like tonight on the stage in Groningen?
It's insane. I can't even tell you, man. I've been looking around, you know, at these shows in Europe, and I've been just kind of looking at her on stage and thinking about how different life could have been. You know, it's like life is all just choices and forks in the road, and it's about really like perception too, like how you look at things. And I'm very thankful that I chose, you know, that fork in the road, because now I get to be here in the Netherlands.
And we're
pretty
happy
cool
to have you.
You already told us about the life on the road. You do like 200 shows a year, I read.
Yeah, in the past we have. This year we've toned it down a little bit, but usually, yeah.
Have you been counting the miles?
Yeah, oh yeah, we've been counting them up.
Yeah.
Counting lots and lots of miles. Yeah, man.
I bet. There's a song on that album, Counting the Miles, that was for me a greyhound. And in Country Course, our podcast, we call a greyhound a song that you listen to while you're on the road and you sing along with it. And on that album was Clayton Was a Cowboy.
Yeah.
And that's a song that I put up while I'm driving the interstate, and like Clayton
nice.
Was a cowboy. So what is a song for you? What would be your greyhound?
My greyhound. I love that word too. That's a great way to describe it. I think the easiest one that I could pick off the top of my head, because I have it tattooed on my arm, is Ramblin' Fever by Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
That's one of the best traveling songs, driving songs, you know. And anytime we've ever hit the road, that's kind of number one, you know, for me. It's the first song I usually put on.
Very good. It's time to speed things a little bit up. It's time for three quick country questions.
Okay.
What is your most country story ever?
Oh, most country story ever. Well, I grew up, you know, just barefoot running around the mountains as a kid, naked most of the time. You know, we were just mountain kids in California and in the redwood forests and stuff. And so I think most, without a specific story, you know, I mean, we used to go with this old war vet named Jack Mills. He was our neighbor, and he drove an old, I think it was like an old Buick or something like that. And we'd pile in the back of that, and he'd take us down to the liquor store that was down in town. We had, grew up in a small town, and he'd buy us these 5-cent candies called Fireballs. We used to go get Fireballs, and then we'd go drive on the roads and look for roadkill.
Oh, really?
And Jack was like a survivalist, so he used to find, you know, intact deer that had been hit. And basically he had the back, sounds crazy, but he had the back of his vehicle kind of like lined out with plastic so that we could get roadkill, help him load it in there, and then we'd take it back to his place. And he taught us how to skin these animals, you know, and basically like preserve them. And he'd hang them, dry them. He did everything like kind of in the Native American way. Like he used obsidian rock to cut, you know, all of the, you know, the skin, and he saved all the sinew and everything. He was a pretty interesting guy. So I'd say he was a pretty country dude for sure.
Very good. What is a memory that you cherish with another country artist?
Oh, I'd say, you know, off the top of my head, one of the coolest ones was getting to open up for my buddy Benjamin Todd at a cool place in Nashville. We got to do a really good show, and it was kind of a homecoming show for him because he's from there. And we had just done that collaboration together, and it was kind of like an all-time moment. You know, I just remember being real proud of him, you know, and it's also cool that he's been so supportive of my music, you know, and it was just kind of a cool full circle type of moment.
Beautiful. What is a goal in life that you still want to achieve?
A goal in life.
You've achieved a lot, I know.
Oh, man, not enough. Man, I appreciate that. Probably one of the biggest ones nowadays is like I want to maintain physical fitness into my old age. You know, I don't want to be old and decrepit. You know, I want to be doing this until I'm Willie Nelson's age. You know,
exactly.
I want to be able to be active. So that's probably my biggest goal is to be healthy.
I saw it. You're very on a good way because I saw the cold plunge on your Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
You did last week or something?
Yeah, I try to do stuff like that.
So I told you about our country course community. We always ask our followers to send in some questions, and they did. Sander would like to know, what to you, Jesse, characterizes the typical sound of Californian country music, like the Bakersfield sound? What characterizes that?
For like the original Bakersfield sound, you know, the stuff out of like the 40s and 50s and 60s, it was, you know, loud guitars, Telecaster. I think, you know, Fender Telecaster guitar is number one. That's as Bakersfield as it gets. You know, these bands played loud. That was another thing. And they were pretty rocking, you know, as far as that goes. I think it was this form of country music that was kind of born out of the bar rooms, you know, whereas like music from the South came more out of the churches.
Yeah.
Bakersfield was like from the bar rooms. And so it was kind of a little bit rowdier,
more
a little bit louder,
yeah.
A little bit almost more rock and roll, even before rock and roll was really a thing, you know. So I think that's, for as far as Bakersfield goes, what kind of characterizes that for me.
Very good. Leifi has a lot of respect for your journey to get clean, and he's wondering, is it hard to stay sober if you live a life where alcohol and drugs surrounds you permanently? In other words, how do you keep away from your soft spot?
That's a great question. You know, for me, it's been a lot easier than you'd think. You know, like in the beginning, it was really tough because when I got clean and sober, I was still working a day job and I was still living in the same area, you know, where all of my addiction had taken place. So it was like around every corner, there was a person I used to use drugs with or a place I used to get in trouble or something like that. But then as I kind of pursued music more as a full-time thing, I just became so focused on that that even when I would be in, you know, bars or clubs or people using drugs or whatever, it just was so opposite from what I wanted to do in life, you know? It was like just the complete polar opposite from where I was headed, you know? Once I got obsessed with music and I kind of figured out my passion.
You had a new drug, maybe.
Yeah, I think I kind of replaced it with that. And so, you know, for better or worse, you know, this has been my full-time pursuit. And I'm not going to let anything distract me from that, you know.
I bet. It just reminds me of that sentence that you put in Son of the San Lorenzo. Trouble found me like the hair on my chin. Each time I get clean, it just grows back again.
Yeah.
Your lyrics are amazing. How do you come up with that stuff?
I think, you know, experience, and then also, like, I love the idea that song ideas and, like, the muse and all that stuff kind of comes through you. I believe that it's not always the artist. I think it's, like, you're, a vessel for it. Mm-hmm. And so I always, when I get a good song idea, it feels like it always came from somewhere else, you know? So I think that's part of it.
Is there a song that you wish you would have written?
Oh, yeah, lots of them. Lots of them. Pretty much every Merle Haggard song, Waylon Jennings song. There's so many. White House Road, how about that one?
Yeah, that's
Tyler Childers. I love Tyler Childers. He's a great artist. He's like such a true artist, you know, to himself. He just does what he wants. And that song, I mean, you go to any club, that's like that's an anthem of like this generation in country. You go to any bar in any country and people are going to be playing that song on the jukebox, or cover bands will be playing it. So
do you look up to him, to Tyler?
I look up to Tyler for sure. Yeah, Tyler's he's, you know, one of those guys that I know he's had his own personal struggles, you know. I don't know him well, I've met him once, but he's super gracious, really cool, and I'm just a big fan of his songwriting and his records, you know.
Cool. Well, in the Netherlands, we are also very fans of your music.
Thank you, man.
So it's time to wrap things up, and there's no better way than to do that with music, I guess.
So all right.
Is there a Country Courts cover that you want to play for me and our listeners and watchers, of course?
Yeah, of course. I could go ahead and do one here.
Very good.
I'll do... because we talked about it earlier, we're talking about Ramblin' Fever.
Nice.
I'll do that one. Don't hang on the same nail too long. My ears can't stand to hear the same old song. I don't leave the highway long enough to bog down in the mud. I got a rambling fever in my blood. Well, I got this rambling fever long ago. When I first caught some whistle blow, if someone said I ever gave a damn, they damn sure told you wrong. I've had a rambling fever all along. Rambling fever, the kind that can't be measured by degrees. rambling fever. There ain't no kind of cure for my disease. There's times I'd like to bed down on a sofa, and I'd let some pretty lady rub my back. And I'd spend the early morning drinking coffee, talking about when I'll be coming back. And I don't let no woman tie me down, and I never get too old to get around. I'm gonna die out on the highway and rot away like some old highline pole. Rest this rambling fever in my soul. Rambling fever, the kind that can't be measured by degrees. Rambling fever. Oh, there ain't no kind of cure for my disease. Oh, there ain't no kind of cure for my disease.
What a way to end it. Thank you very much, Jesse. Well, thank you for watching Country Chords. Would you like to see more of our content? Look at our TikTok, Instagram, or our YouTube channel. And don't forget to hit the like and the subscribe button. Catch you later.